I want you to look again this morning, verse 22 of this text. You'll see in the first chapter of the first book of the Bible, you will find this biblical word, blessed, a familiar word, verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. Now, obviously, the word blessed is a very important theological term in the economy of God. This is the creation story, after all. So that it is God himself at the very beginning who is doing the blessing, whatever the word blessing means. The Creator is bestowing something upon his own creation. And of course, it's not just in the first chapter of the first book of Scripture that this word is found. It is also spoken by Christ himself, also God, in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. Revelation 22:7 says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so the last line of verse 22, first line I should say, and God blessed them. The first line of verse 28, and God blessed them. Yes, he did. Yes, he does. And as Revelation 22 shows, yes, he will. You see, folks, it is an astonishing thing to contemplate this morning, but it is true. God made creation because he wanted something to bless. He made man in his own image because he wanted something to bless forever. And not for nothing is the Hebrew word for blessed and blessing found over 400 times in the Old Testament alone. And not for nothing was the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who has ever lived, a message that began with a single word, the word blessed. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, as Paul was reminding the believers of what God did for them, quote, before the foundation of the world, he says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God created man, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. I hope you listen very carefully this morning. I want to speak on the subject, God blessed you. Not God bless you, God blessed you. Father, please help us to understand the meaning, the deep spiritual implications of what it means that in the beginning of your creation, you look down and it says you bless them and you blessed us. And that from then on, all through your word, Father, even to the very last chapter, you speak of blessing. May we know what it means today to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the great and glorious words, obviously, in all of the Bible that's been hijacked by the world and false religion in our culture is the word blessed. Whenever most people use the word blessed today or bless, it's usually just an expression that's meant to end a conversation that's gone on too long. Someone's like, blah, 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 blah. And so you say, uh-huh, yeah, that's great. Uh-huh, yeah, well, God bless you, which means enough of this, right? It means you've talked too long, and is there a caboose to this train of thought of yours? Because bless you is a tool and a cynical one at that. But not so with God. And not so in the Word of God. For the Christian, beloved, the word blessed is what we are. Think about this. The word blessed is the description of what we are by God's grace from the beginning to the ending and into eternity and all according to the plan of God before the foundation of the world. Now think about that. God blessed them is the very beginning, in the very first garden in Eden, and then God blesses them in the very end, in the eternal garden in the book of Revelation, so that this one word, designed by God himself, is given to us to describe his work with man. It is this word, blessed. It's in light of that that I want us to consider some things in this text, three things about the blessings and the blessed people of God that we must never forget. The first one you'll notice, number one, is to recognize. Yes, simply recognize the blessings of God. Again, verse 28, and God blessed them. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, and so it goes. Now, folks, I want you to hear this. We all know the Bible says in James 1:17 that every good and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. In other words, all of the blessings of life, material blessings, spiritual blessings, physical, eternal, all of the good things that we enjoy, every single good gift, the Bible says, comes from above. Genesis is the book of beginnings. Chapter 1 is the beginning of the book. And blessing, therefore, begins with God. And of course, that is precisely why. All of God's blessings, this is something the prosperity folks out there don't get. All of God's blessings ultimately are meant to glorify God and not us. So that the only way that God's blessings could ever glorify man and not God is if man doesn't recognize that they all come from God. The scripture I alluded to earlier in Ephesians 1, you remember what it said? It said this. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Those words, blessed and blessing there, all three of them are translated from the same Greek word, root word, eulogio. We get the word eulogy. What that Greek word literally means is to speak well or to do well for someone else. When someone gives a eulogy at a funeral, they are thankful for that person and they speak well of them. Thus, they eulogize them. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking well of God because He has done well for us. People often talk about saying the blessing at a meal. Someone gives, quote, the blessing. What does that mean? Because, you know, our own Lord did that, exactly that thing. For example, when He fed the multitude. In fact, I'm going to read to you real quickly so you understand how He gave thanks. Listen to these words in the Gospel of Mark. And He commanded them, this multitude, to make all sit down by companies on the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when He had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, He, Jesus, looked up to heaven and gave thanks. No, it says He looked up to heaven and He blessed. It doesn't say He blessed the food. Let me read the rest of it. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, wait a minute. In Jesus' day, understand, they were very deliberate about the blessing at the meal. For example, if you were there and you ate, they said, the less than the volume of a single olive. You could not say the blessing because it wasn't enough food. They wanted people who saw it, recognized it, and partook of it to be the one who gave the blessing. Only men could lead in the blessing, and it would vary according to the size of the group, whether it be 10. Or 100 or 200 in the group, the numbers change the length of that blessing. Typically, they would quote a part of the psalm, blessed art thou, king of the universe. And so when the Bible says that there were 5,000 men, that's reckoned because the Lord, we just read it, the Lord divided them up into groups of hundreds and fifties, which enabled them to count the 5,000. It also, in those smaller groups, enabled each one of them to give a blessing. The Bible says the Lord looked up to heaven and blessed. Who did He bless? What did He bless? He blessed the Father. He blessed the giver. He blessed the blesser. And He divided them up so that in part everybody could appropriately bless their God. Again, the Lord looked to heaven. He didn't look to His disciples. He didn't take that bread and that fish and look on the little boy who gave it. He didn't look out to Mother Earth. He looked to God and He led the men by example to do the very same thing. I ask you a question this morning. Do you recognize today the giver of all of the blessings that you enjoy this morning? Did you know that the Bible tells us when and why any society or nation goes down into darkness spiritually and vanity so quickly? Do you know the Bible tells us why they are given up by God unto their own vile affections and worship the creation instead of the Creator? Because the Bible tells us when that happens. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, I'm quoting, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That is the moment that they become, quote, vain in their own imaginations. You see, folks, anybody who is blessed but does not recognize the blesser in the blessings is ruined. Dr. Bob said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he is well nigh hopeless. Recognize. The second thing you'll notice in the text, number two, is receive, which means enjoy the blessings of God. That's why God gave them. Look at verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Chapter 2, look at verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then verse 16, he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's God's grace. See, Pastor, it almost sounds as if the fruit of the earth and the nuts and the trees and the animals and the rivers, it's as if the whole earth was originally made for man's enjoyment. Almost. Now, folks, I realize that this is not the message that is being sent out in our universities and in Hollywood and the courts today. Their message is that it's the earth that is so sacred and man is the problem. Man, you see now, is the virus whose footprint has spoiled this pristine planet. So what do you have? You have elitists now that fly around in their carbon-guzzling jets, or wearing exorbitant clothing, eating exorbitant foods, doing nothing productive except lecturing other people before they return to one of their many massive estates where they consume more natural resources in one single day than most people do an entire year in their households. They are smug in their cocktail parties and their red carpet award shows where they give more lectures on how man is the problem. And folks, in all of their hypocritical and extravagant and wasteful lifestyle, they do not recognize that their blessings are the blessings of God. In fact, the body of their life's work for most of them typically is set out to destroy God and His eternal word. So here's their message. Don't receive God's blessing. Don't eat meat. Matter of fact, don't eat much of anything. Don't eat that, they say. Don't wear that. Don't build that. Don't drink that. Don't climb. Don't swim. Don't farm or fish or ride, because you're the intruder and you're the problem. Pastor, don't you believe in taking care of this planet? Of course I do. Far more than they do. Chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That was an original mandate even before the fall. And you'll notice what God said even a little bit earlier. In the last line of chapter 2 and verse 5 says that there was not a man, what? Here it is, to till the ground. No, there wasn't, beloved, but there needed to be in the mind, the plan of God. And God provided that man. You see, folks, you see how minds that are darkened always get things exactly backward. The blessings of God are meant by God to both be recognized and received by man. Freely, the Bible says, received with joy. That text that we alluded to earlier in Romans chapter 1, quote, professing themselves, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiping and serving the creature, the creation, more than the Creator. It's amazing to me, 2,000 years ago, Paul described in detail the Clinton Global Initiative and 1,000 other examples of man's works that uplift the creation but not the Creator. Well, Pastor, a lot of folks just don't believe the whole Creator story. I know that. And especially now, I know they believe another story. ICR posted recently a picture of a man that he had taken in a stream in the Smoky Mountains the other day. It's just a man standing in the stream, in the Smoky Mountains, and the water's flowing down below his feet. And all around him, he could see the rocks that were arranged to form a few patterns. These are stones about this big and what looked like a little levee that the man had made in order to build a little pond. My boys did that in the creeks when they were growing up. I did that as a little boy. You just take rocks and you make a little dam, and you dam up the water and you can catch some little fish and so on. And underneath that photo was a little note. It said, one, you see the leaves on the branches of the tree. What are the origin of those leaves in that tree? Oh, I know. By natural processes over millions of years, that tree evolved. No intelligence had anything to do with it. Number two, see the human being standing there in the creek in the water. How did that complex body and the phenomenal complex DNA information system, code system, come about? Oh, I know. It was by natural process over millions of years. No intelligence had anything to do with that. Number three, you see those rocks in the picture that are lined up in that stream? How did they get that way? It's obvious. Somebody deliberately placed those rocks in an order. The result of intelligence, not some random process in the stream. Those who reject God, beloved, believe that inanimate matter arranged itself by natural processes into the most complex information system, encoded system in the entire universe, DNA. These same people would say that those inanimate rocks could not have come up in that order by themselves in that photograph. Folks, it's just a story made up by people who do not want to recognize or receive the blessings of God as blessings from God. We said, number one, recognize. Number two, receive. The third thing I want you to notice, number three, is to release. Release. You recognize the blessings. You receive the blessings, and in God's plan, you release those blessings. Still in Genesis, I want you to turn to chapter 12, would you? Genesis chapter 12. I want you to notice where God reminds us here of the same stewardship that we just read about, that we just noted here in the beginning of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, in a familiar verse. Notice verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. There's that word again. What a great word. Abraham, I will bless thee and make thy name great. Here it is. And thou shalt be a blessing. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the point of being created in God's image is that we're not supposed to simply accumulate blessings for ourselves. We are supposed to also, just like God, distribute blessings to others. Did you know today that your life is meant to be a blessing? You know what product placement is, right? Product placement, that's where companies will pay movie makers or actors to use their products somewhere in the TV show or the movie and maybe even just display a logo. Superman throws a big truck into the sun, but it's a big Coca-Cola truck, and they pay for that, right? And there's a scene, an actual scene in a popular TV show right now that has 9 different Apple devices on screen at the same time. That's called embedded marketing. Well, guess what? There's a company now in London that offers pastors cash. If we send proof that we mention a certain product or film project in our sermon. Can you imagine product placement in a sermon? I would never. Excuse me for a minute. Things really do go better with Coke, I gotta say. It won't be long, and like NASCAR, I'll have little things on me and a Chick-fil-A tie or whatever. Do you know that God has embedded marketing? The only difference is it's not a product and it's not money. It's grace, and it is embedded in your heart. So do you know that God has always intended for His people to reflect His grace by being a blessing to others around them, just like God has been a blessing to you? Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who would say that they find you a blessing in their life? I want you to contemplate that for a moment. If God has blessed you abundantly, and you know, he from Genesis to Revelation, that's what God does. If God has blessed you abundantly, who on this planet, if they heard your name called out, would say, that person is a blessing to me? What neighbor of yours? What coworker? What family member? What person on this planet would say that that person, that you did something that blessed my heart and blessed my life? I mentioned the Greek word for blessed in the book of Ephesians. There's another one also used in the New Testament. It's the word makarios. Makarios is the Greek word used in the Sermon on the Mount, and it means to be blissful or happy from within. In other words, it's a sort of self-contained happiness in that it doesn't rely on outward circumstances. And of course, it is the result, if you read the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are they for they. It is the result of recognizing and receiving for yourself the blessings of God. So you see, there's this island in the Mediterranean called Cyprus. Barnabas was from there. And the Greeks of that day gave it a name. They called it Makarios, the happy isle. The Greeks believed that because of its location, its soil, and its climate, all you needed to do to be happy was right there on Cyprus. Well, obviously, everybody couldn't move to Cyprus. But every Christian ought to be a Cyprus. A self-contained island of blessing, just like Barnabas, who left that island and was a blessing in the image of God everywhere that he went. God made creation because he wanted something to bless. God made man in his image because he wanted someone to bless forever. Many of you here this morning, some of you young people in particular, are being told now in our educational system that you should feel guilty for being blessed. That if God has blessed you with good children, good home, food, clothing, safety, that you ought to feel guilty, and there's a certain privilege that you have that you ought to feel guilty about every morning you wake up. No, you shouldn't feel guilty. You should feel thankful. But it ought to be that gratitude and that thanks is expressed to the right one, not to the government, but to God. God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I want you to think for a moment about all the blessings that you enjoyed yesterday alone. If we were truly to count our many blessings and to name them one by one, think about the blessings. A couple days ago, candle was burning in the house. And unfortunately, this candle smells just like fresh baked cookies. And, you know, I was smelling it and I was studying at the table and I smelled those fresh baked cookies, I thought. But it's that stupid candle. So I went in the cabinet and I opened up the cabinet doors and I'm looking around, and there was a big bag of Nestle's milk chocolate chips, the big bag. And I thought, why not? So I got the bag out, I read everything, and I got all the flour and the baking and all the stuff. I got all eggs, we had 2 eggs, just enough. So I made 5 dozen cookies. I texted Andy, Andy, I got some warm cookies in about 5 minutes, come and get some. He was there in 3 minutes. The first batch, 12. We're done. I thought I opened it up. The timer went off. They weren't quite done. And so I closed it and said, I'll just give it a couple of minutes. And I went back to, you know, preparing the rest of the cookie sheets. And I could hear Ben and Louise upstairs. What are you doing down there? You know, it was wafting. So they were burnt because I didn't pay attention. So I pulled them out, first batch, just the bottom. So that 12 cookies, you think I'm going to throw those away? No, you eat the top and throw away the bottom. All 12 of them as I stood there over the garbage can. Man. You know, we are blessed. I mean, the very fact that I smelled something and I could go to the cat that had every single item I needed We live in a country of abundance. The sin is not the abundance. The Garden of Eden, beloved, was abundant. Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, God said. We live in a nation of abundance. The sin is not the abundance. The sin is in not recognizing that what we receive comes from the hand of God. And when we receive it, we have the obligation and the privilege to send it out, and especially true when it comes to our spiritual blessings. God blessed you this morning. Have you recognized? Some of you who are pretty astute may recognize that about this time of year, every year, I preach some kind of sermon on gratitude and thankfulness because it's almost exactly the halfway point to Thanksgiving. I want to wait till Thanksgiving to preach on gratitude. Because gratitude is something, and thankfulness and giving God glory and blessing for blessing us is something that we do as Christians every single day of our lives. And then in recognizing and receiving, do you release them? You know, if the Bible says that in Romans 1, and I encourage every Christian here sometime this week to go home and read Romans 1 carefully and think of your country. If the Bible says in Romans 1 that it's when people are not thankful as the very first step, that they're given over to vile affections, women with women, men with men, that's what it says in that scripture. That men's hearts are darkened, that they worship the creation, not the Creator. Then how important must it be, especially for those who know God, to receive His blessings with joy and to, in recognizing and receiving them, release them to those who need to see those blessings in our lives. Christian, for a moment, compare, for example, how many times yesterday you griped and complained in the midst of blessings as to we're thankful and grateful. Griping and complaining and grumbling is obviously the exact opposite of recognizing blessings. Father, bless now, please, the invitation. Have your will and your way in our hearts and lives. Thank you, dear God, that from the very beginning of your word, all through it, to the very end, you remind us of this word, blessed. And you blessed us. And you continue to bless us. And as you've shown us in your word, you will give us blessing for all of eternity. Help us, who were created in your image, Father, to demonstrate that kind of blessing. For those who are here today and have asked for prayer, strengthen them to that end. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.